did you feel it this week? Get out of bed. You know, I'm... excuse me. Wow. Frog reared up out of nowhere. I have it pretty good. My office is at home, so I don't normally get up too awfully early until it's either going fishing, hunting, or some other, you know, road trip. But this week, Sophie got me up one morning. It was about 6:30, 6:45, and I walked out the back door, and I was kind of perturbed with her because she couldn't wait another half an hour, 45 minutes. But I walked out the door, and I was like, I think I feel October coming. It is the first time you walk out the door and you don't get hit by the humidity, and it's almost as cool outside as the air conditioning inside the house. I'm ready for it. Wow, I'm ready for it. What, long hot summer, and now August has turned into a rainmaker, which is good. Everything needed the rain and all. But, yeah, this week I think was the first week I noticed it. Hopefully it just gets better from here. Welcome to Woods and Water, South Carolina. My name is Roger Metz, and I'll be with you for the next hour. Gonna chat with Brandon Cobb just for a few minutes during the second segment. He back from the Cup in Huntsville. And just figured I'd talk to him and get him to give you an update and kind of what's on the off season for him. I know he's working hard on the sponsor side. That's what those guys do on the off season. But just to get just touch base with him. And then third and or however long it takes, we're going to be talking to Jerry Widener from Hunter Safety Systems about tree stand safety, which is a really important subject this time of the year. Month is August is tree stand safety month. And like I told you last week, the recording I had that sounded like Charlie Brown's teacher, that was Jerry and I talking. So he's agreed to come on today live, and I appreciate that. So you be sure to listen up. And there's Brandon now. We still good at 3:15? I wonder if he's listening or... Oh, anyway. I'm sorry. I'm easily distracted. Ask my boat driver in Huntsville. He's watching guys fishing. I go, oh, butterfly. Oh, look over here. Eagle. You know? So I'm easily distracted. Excuse me. So it's a good show. Next week, I'm going to tease next week, just so you can get it on your calendar now. We're going to have Ryan Bass from the Department of Natural Resources is going to be here to talk about the National Archery and School Program and the Scholastic Sporting Clays Program. And we're also going to have Eddie Montz, who works with the Take One, Make One program. So it's going to be a studio full next week. Be a great show. And if your kids are back in school and they have any interest in either one of these, now's the time to get involved. So that's next week. But right now, let's pick a few things off the calendar of events. And I didn't plan that, picking a few events. It just came out. But it does resonate with the first one, and that is... Skytop Orchard is picking Honeycrisp now through Labor Day. So go pick some Honeycrisp apples at and of course if Skytop's got it. And I know some people don't like going to Skytop, and you've got your own favorite orchard or whatever. It really doesn't matter. Just go pick some apples. And Honeycrisp are now, those are probably my favorite. I think those are galas. Either one, but Honeycrisp are really good too. Quality Deer Management Association, the Foothills branch, which is the Upstate's branch, will be having their Sportsman's Banquet, the sixth one, August 25th at the St. George Greek Orthodox Church here in Greenville. Contact Mary Beth Truluck. That's 864-982-0806. You know, I really hate giving telephone numbers and all out. I'm just going to tell you, go to the QDMA website, look under events in your state, and find it. And this is not the only one. QDMA right now, I think, is having all their South Carolina branches are having banquets. So you can find one somewhere in your area to go to and participate. Great organization. You know, everybody says, well, they're for big bucks. That's all they care about. You know, at their root, all they want is a healthy deer population. And I think we've got one. And it'd be interesting to see. Boy, the chatter going back and forth about the 2017 deer regulations is still going. In fact, Pete Rogers and I were coming back from National Wild Turkey Federation Thursday, and we're having a little, I don't want to say a disagreement, but we were talking about the regulations, and he thought one thing, I thought another. We called Charles Ruth, and it was something kind of in between what we were talking about. So interesting stuff. But anyway, QDMA is a great organization. I hope you'll get behind sometime this year. Get behind a non-governmental, conservation-minded organization that supports what you support and contribute. Be a part of it. Get involved. We had Ashley Clark on a few weeks ago talking about the Ducks Unlimited Sporting Clays Tournament. That's coming up Friday, September the 9th at the Clinton House. There are all sorts of sponsorships, levels, and teams, and other additional sponsorship opportunities. I'm not exactly sure what's still open, but you can get a hold of the Greenville chapter of Ducks Unlimited. There again, Ducks Unlimited webpage, look for events in your state, and they'll find it. But it's a 10-shot warm-up, 100 clay targets, ammunition, clays cart, lunch and cocktail hour, and then, of course, you got all the other stuff that goes along with this, which is interesting because I'm going to be shooting some clays here in the next month, which will be very good. From the Department of Natural Resources, DNR to provide special youth deer hunts in the upstate. Story kind of goes, the hunts are for youth between the ages of 10 to 16 who would like to go deer hunting but don't have anyone to take them. There again, that's the Take One, Make One program. I'm excited this year. I'm a mentor. Somehow or another, Eddie Montz fudged the records and got me on the list. They've asked me to be one for the dove hunt in Sumter, but I can't make it. But anyway, I'm excited about this opportunity to get out there and actually, you know, I've done my kids. I think I've got them pretty well along. Even Jordan's wanting to go fishing some this fall. So, and now it's time for me to give it to another kid. That's what we all ought to be doing, is passing it along. There are no costs associated with these hunts. A parent or guardian must provide written permission. If you're interested, the application deadline is Monday, September 12th. You can go to the DNR website, look for draw hunts. It's on the deer draw hunts are on the right-hand side of the page, one of the little squares. Click on it. It's got a youth hunt link. They're going to be in Lawrence, two locations in Lawrence County on October 15th. October 22nd in Spartanburg County, again, November 12th in Spartanburg County. Union County's got two dates in November, Cherokee in November, and then Spartanburg, Lawrence, and Union on the 10th. And you're going to some great places. You know, Horseshoe Falls Hunt Club, Chufa Ridge Farm, Broken Arrow Hunt Club, the Clinton House. That's what happens when you're a kid. You get to go to great places. We are specifically looking for young people who have an interest in hunting but don't have anyone to take them. That's from Gerald Moore, DNR wildlife biologist in Union. So if you're interested, DNR website, go to the draw hunts, look under the youth hunts, and they're there. This was one that I talked about last week, and I could not find the story, and for good reason, I didn't even bring it last week. Clemson Youth Deer Hunt registration is underway. It's a Fance Grove Youth Deer Hunt set for Saturday, October the 1st. Again, you can find more information at DNR. All participants must have an adult 21 years or older with them to hunt. The youth must be 17 or younger. And this is the one I said, look, if you want to go or you have a kid that wants to go, look, call me, get a hold of me, Roger at woodsandwatersc.com, Facebook message, call the radio station. I'll be glad to mentor a youth from the upstate if they want to go to this hunt. There'll be a mandatory registration, safety class, and shooting range session will be held in the morning. Evidently, it's the evening hunt. And I would love to take a kid. So if you've got one or you know one, let me know. I'll take them. And I've got guns and clothes and whatever. There's the application. It was funny. We went to the National Wild Turkey Federation. Yeah, what a great place. If you're going to they're having a Learn to Deer Hunt class on September the 17th. If you're interested in learning how to deer hunt, go. Interestingly enough, you'll be covered up with a bunch of guys from the South Carolina Outdoor Press Association. We're having our convention there, and we're going to be there Saturday morning, so you might get your picture taken a lot. just in case you want to model for us. Anyway, hang on. We've got Brandon Cobb coming up after the break. Can we listen to the music a little more? Great song. Boy, I will never leave the 80s in music. I'm sorry. Okay, good enough. Good enough. He, he's been on the FLW Tour as a pro for 3 years. Two of those years, he has made the FLW Cup, had a third-place finish in 15, a ninth-place finish this year, and he took us into Alabama's version of Deliverance on Sunday. Brandon Cobb, welcome to the show.
Hey, how you doing, Roger?
I'm good, man. Yeah, that was some, you know, the back lower ranch unit on the boat I was on said we were on dry ground. One of those creeks
we were
in.
That's right. I kind of figured Wheeler was fishing so bad, I figured I'd just get as far away from the actual lake as I could.
and let me say, go ahead.
I was just trying to get to somewhere that the fish didn't even know they were on Wheeler anymore, a different population.
They lost sight of what lake they were really on. They're just a resident of the creek.
That's right.
But it was cool. We saw a deer. There was a deer walking through the swamp. Did you see that one?
I did. That actually, two places I fished. One of the places that you didn't get to come back because it got a little tight in the back. There was a baby with spots that was in there every day. It was my buddy. I saw him every day of the tournament.
Was that up under the bridge there?
It was.
Okay. It's amazing what you see when you just get out there, you know?
That's right. Yeah, it's especially that type of fishing. It's kind of, I actually grew up fishing like that. I mean, back here in Greenwood, Lake Greenwood,
right,
still are home lakes around here. It's kind of like when my dad and I started fishing when I was 10, 12 years old, fishing tournaments. That's all we knew to do was go up a creek.
Sure.
So that's how, it was kind of like going back fishing. I mean, getting back, I mean, it's like going through a jungle. You just get as far back as you can, going under trees, jumping over logs and things. And that's how I grew up fishing back when we had a little boat and stuff. A little harder in a 21-foot Ranger versus a 15-foot Stratus. But you can still get there. At least you got more horsepower to push you over.
That's right. Yeah, yeah. More weight to get unstuck when you have to push it off the bar.
That's right.
You know, you talk about getting way back at the creeks and how it was when you were growing up and all. We're sitting there watching you, and you pulled out one of my old favorites, a bubblegum trick worm.
I did. It's actually kind of one of the lost baits. I mean, there's a few baits that used to, I mean, 15, 20 years ago, like when I fished with my dad, it was kind of the go-to baits. I mean,
sure.
You had your Texas rig worm.
Yeah.
You had your floating worm, like a Smithwick devil horse, like some old school baits.
Sure.
And those baits still work, and the pink floating worm is actually one of my favorites, and especially in creeks and rivers, when there's kind of two different types of creeks and rivers. You got some that get muddy. The farther you go, the muddier it gets.
All right.
And that's one type. And those are usually like flipping style. That's the only way to catch them is flip.
Okay.
But then you got the one that you followed me way up. Was that, you notice it got clearer and clearer the farther we went.
Sure.
And those a lot of times, the best way to catch those fish is with an old-school pink floating worm.
It still works. You know, they keep, and I've got a ton of them because I've got a ton of stuff I used back in the 80s.
And that's right, and they work. Yeah, don't get rid of them.
No, they might be a little faded. I noticed Chris Baxter gave me a package of methylates when I was in at Zoom, and I had a package, and I put them. And I think my methylates have faded just a tad, but there again,
yeah, they tend to do that in 20 years.
Yeah, so. I guess so. Of course, I faded a little bit too. Oh, right. Me! But well, tell us. I mean, okay, 3 years, two cups, two top tens. What a start.
Yeah, it's a great start. Actually, August is always, I mean, ever since I've been fishing, I love August. August fishing is generally horrible, but it's tough fishing, but it doesn't take much weight to do well in August.
Right.
The fisheries, unless you have an abundance of grass, August is any lake in the country pretty much. August is tough. I mean, it's just they don't bite real well. Fish tend to suspend, get start school, and go way up creeks like we were talking about.
Right.
And it's just a tough month to fish. But I like it because I feel like I'm very good at always just grinding it out and putting together five fish. They're not always the biggest five fish, but in August, just five fish goes a long way.
Sure. Well, I mean,
those tournaments in March, April, where 25 people have over 20 pounds, that's not my style. I mean, I do catch big fish sometime like that, but I would much rather a tough tournament where just everybody's struggling and you just catch five and you're doing good.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I tell you, you were moving into some foreign territory over there. It was amazing. You even knew where to go. And my boat driver was going, I've never been this far back up here. And he lives there. And I said,
it's the funny part is, is that was not even my game plan going into the tournament after practice at all.
Okay.
You actually found me the first day.
I did.
Fishing with schooling fish. Well, I went out to Wheeler in July. I think I talked to you before I cast,
right,
before it went off limits. And I thought the creeks would play. I had in my mind that I needed to be up the creek. Well, I spent 3 days of practice in July doing that and didn't really catch that many, just kind of looked at all the creeks, but I figured it wasn't quite hot enough yet to make them go up there.
Okay.
So I went back and practiced the first day of official practice up the creeks, and I found two creeks I had a couple bites in, but it just didn't seem good, you know.
Okay.
It just kind of, I didn't think it'd be one like that. And the second day of practice, I found some schooling fish.
Okay.
And I spent the second day of practice and third day of practice just, I pretty much committed to the schooling fish and said, that's what I'm going to do.
Right.
And you found me about 10 or 11 o'clock that first day.
And, yeah.
You know, it's like a circus down there in the school.
Oh, my goodness.
Boats everywhere. I couldn't get on half the places I wanted. The fish were hard to catch even when they were schooling.
Well,
and I pretty much scrapped it and said, I'm going to the creeks. If it works, it works. If it doesn't, it doesn't.
Yeah. Well, if you ever go back to Wheeler, right at the mouth of Elk Creek is an island, Rip Rat Bank. Uh-huh. And Friday, when I didn't find you until, like, you came blasting up past us at, like, almost noon, way up the Elk, uh-huh, right there in the mouth of the Elk Creek, we sat there from probably 8:15 to 9:30. And they were just...
And they schooled the whole time.
They schooled the whole time. And here goes, you know, Shane LeHue went up this way, and Carl went this way, and you know, I'm like, people, right here. I mean, there are 3, 4, 5 pound largemouth and smallmouth right here. You don't have to go any further. But you're right. It was. They were everywhere. Everywhere.
But they were, and part of the problem with those schooling fish were they looked awesome. I mean, your normal schooling fish, you see them like that. Oh, man, I'm going to catch one every cast.
Right.
But they were so difficult to catch.
Right.
If you could see the bait they were eating, in general, it was
inch.
Most of the shad they were eating were 3/4 of an inch to an inch and a quarter long.
Yeah, they were small.
And honestly, me and you were joking, I think. You'd be better off with a fly rod.
Yeah, them.
I mean, you just can't throw anything at them.
That's right. And like a 22 Adams, I think, would just do perfect.
That's right. And they just, you can't get the baits that they will bite, you can't reach them with. So you basically throw a tiny bait and hope they come up really close to the boat.
Right. Yeah.
And it made it very difficult. That's why I pretty much said, you know what, I'm going to go with my strength and I'm fishing shallow. And it was actually from you watching me in 15 versus this year, I was definitely power fishing shallow like I was then, but I think you can notice too, the speed of fishing was completely opposite.
Oh yeah, you slowed down a lot.
Yeah, I did. And you had to out there in those creeks because there wasn't that many fish.
Right.
So you had to make sure you caught the few that were there.
Right. Yeah. And it was a grind.
It was a grind. And a very stressful tournament with the distance of running.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, you followed me pretty much the whole time. And just I think the creek you followed me to the last day was about a 67 to 69 mile run one way.
Yeah, I opted not to run the whole distance, which was fine with a boat driver. Right. You know, he's like, how many tanks of gas I got to have for the day? Like, don't worry. I know where he's going. We'll just trailer to the Elk River and we'll put in there and find him. So worked out kind of good.
That's right. That was the best call because it was not fun riding the hour and a half, hour, 15 minutes in a boat.
No, the idea is cool, but the doing it day after day is probably not.
That's right. Yeah, when you get that far away, your mind starts playing games on you. Motor might make a little noise or something.
Uh-oh.
Do I need to go back early? I'm a long ways away.
Yeah.
That's actually what happened to me the third day. I caught that 14 pounds, which I knew was, I mean, it's not a giant bag, but it was a pretty giant bag for that tournament.
Yeah.
And I really had probably another hour I could have fished, but when you're that far away, you know you've got them decent enough to make the cut. You need to get them back.
Yeah.
I actually went back a little early.
I got you.
The third day.
I got a couple of minutes left. What are you, off season now? Cup's over. Are you going to fish the Opens?
I am fishing the one on Lake Norman.
Okay.
For sure. The Invitational up there.
Right.
I'll be fishing it not far. Kind of my style of fishing. I don't know if I will fish the Norris Lake Open. There's a Terminal Murray, the Quest Challenge. I don't know if you'll be down there for it.
But I hadn't heard about that. Yeah, oh, yes, I have. Yes, I have. I did.
Yeah, but it'll be a pretty big deal. I think it'll have a pretty big crowd. I think it's going to have a concert and some stuff, so it'll be a pretty cool tournament.
Okay, cool. I'll have to, do a little more checking into that one.
That's right.
So other than that, what's up? You gonna hunt a little bit?
I will. I'll probably do a little bit of duck hunting. I'll probably do that some, and deer hunting. I got to get my girlfriend out there deer hunting, since she loves it so much. So we'll go do a little deer hunting and just playing around. Like I'll do a little bit of fishing, but in the fall, it's kind of my off season. I want to take a break from it for a while.
Sure.
If I do go fishing, a lot of times I don't go for bass. I'll go try to catch some schooling stripers or things like that.
Gotcha. Well, it's
I'm actually boatless now, so I'll have to wait on my new boat.
An FLW pro who's boatless. This is interesting. So, you sold the one that was a year old. Now you're waiting on your new one.
I'm ordering my new one this week. So anybody out there that needs a fishing partner, I'm boatless. So.
And tell you what, if you offer to take him, you probably could work him in filling you up a tank of gas while you're at it too.
You probably could.
Well, man, I tell you, it's Neil introduced us January, February. Geddes Brandon introduced us. Yeah,
mm-hmm. And, I was on the show on the way to the Cup last year.
That's right. And it's been a fun year. We have had some good times, laughed, got to watch you catch some fish. In fact, every time I've seen you, I've watched you catch fish. And I really forward to next year.
Usually media's bad luck.
Yeah,
you're great luck.
Well, don't put that on me. I'm just there when y'all are lucky. How's that?
That's right.
But it's been a great year. there's that frog again. It has been a great year. I'm looking forward to next year. And we'll leave it at that, because I can really have a hard time talking. But anyway, it's been a great year. I'll catch up with you next year or later on.
That sounds great.
All right, man. Take care of yourself.
You too.
All right, bye-bye, man. See you. I don't know what. Boy, this thing is just. Okay. I'll hammer it out over the break. Y'all hang on. When we come back, we're going to talk to Jerry Widener from Hunter Safety System, Tree Stand Safety. Back to Woods and Water, South Carolina. Hopefully I have evicted the frog from my throat and won't quite sound quite that bad this segment. This is take two of an interview that I did a couple of weeks ago with Jerry Widener. It came out sounding something like Charlie Brown in class. Jerry, I appreciate you taking time on a Saturday to do it again with me.
Rod, it's always a pleasure, buddy. Good to be with you.
I appreciate it. I am kicking myself, though, Jerry. Because a couple of weeks ago, I was in Huntsville for a week, and I had no idea that you were that close.
Yeah, you were right in my backyard.
Yeah, and for some reason, 205 area code tipped me off, and after we talked last time, I said, surely not. And I pulled it up, and you're about what? You're just across Wheeler Lake on the other side, about 15 miles.
Yeah, you could have just... casting rod and just cast it right over to me.
That's it. Well, folks, we're on with Hunter Safety Systems co-owner Jerry Widener for August is Tree Stand Safety Awareness Month. He's been good enough to do this for a couple of years now. And I want to frame this whole conversation we're going to have. This is a family issue. Right, Jerry?
Exactly it is. Personal and family. Certainly is.
Because it's not just me picking up a gun and going deer hunting. It's a safety thing that affects a lot of people around you, and I'm going to let you take it and roll with it. But Hunter Safety Systems, you kind of got a message, and I'd love for you to start out with that logo that's right across the front of your webpage.
You know, our slogan is saving lives is what we do. And, Roger, you and I have talked about that in the past. And, you know, Hunter Safety System doesn't make the fastest shooting bow or the sharpest broadhead. We're about saving lives. That's all we do, and that's what we study all the time. And I think one of the keys that has made us successful and made us popular to our hunters is the fact that our products, first of all, are hunter-friendly. They're easy to use. They're not complicated. We're hunters ourselves.
Okay.
All of us here at Hunter Safety System, we're bow hunters, so we're experiencing the same issues you and all your listeners have, and we're concerned about making sure that you get home safe to those that love you.
That's a successful hunt. In my household, me leaving early in the morning or lunchtime, you know, whatever I do while I'm out, my family, I've had a good day when I walk through the door at night.
Absolutely. You know, and again, we spoke about this in the fact that if a person chooses not to wear a harness, and I want this to come across the right way, but
sure.
I will tell people all the time that you're very selfish in making that decision, because somebody is now going to have to pick up the responsibilities of perhaps taking care of the issues at hand if you were to fall. Imagine, Roger, you and I hunting, you decide not to wear a harness and you mm-hmm. fall, and maybe the worst happens. You die from that fall.
Right.
I'm the one that has to take care of everything. I got to go to your wife. I've got to go to the family. I've got to get you out of the woods. I've got to get EMS. And it's a selfish issue that we're placing on our fellow hunters, on others that don't need to have that type of responsibility placed on them.
Right.
And it's so simple. It's easy. The products are well made today. They're easy to put on. They're not expensive. They'll last for years, and there's just not a lot of excuses. You know, in the past, we've all used excuses. I know I have.
No, I have.
We're all guilty of it.
Sure.
And we'll say, well, you know, I'm just going to hang one stand, or I'm just going to run out there this afternoon, and I'll be right back. I'll be gone for 2 hours. I'll mm-hmm. be right back in. Oh, I forgot my harness. I'm going to go ahead and climb anyway. Well, those things happen. I mean, certainly they do. And we're in a hurry. When we're going hunting, we want to go hunting.
Sure.
Safety's not the thing on our mind. It's getting in that tree. It's getting out there and enjoy that hunt.
Right.
So I understand the challenges of it, but we owe it to those that love us and expect us and depend on us to come home safe to do just that.
And folks, if you're listening and you think, yeah, this is good, sure, whatever, I encourage you to go to the huntersafetysystem.com website. Front page, scroll down the page on the right-hand side. First box on the left will be life stories. And if you click on that, you're going to read stories from people just like you and I who, well, you know, they were lucky. They were wearing their suspension systems and had an accident. But because they were attached to that tree, they were able to write about it.
Yeah, and you know, there are so many people that still fall.
Sure.
And it's just a matter of numbers. I mean, we have a lot of us that hunt, and a lot of us that hunt from trees, and we know the advantages of being elevated, so we certainly want to take advantage of that. And you know another thing, Roger, the products today, the tree stands, the ladders, the steps, the straps, the harnesses, the ropes, they're better and stronger than ever before.
Right.
They've never, ever been made any better than they're made right today, but yet we still fall.
Mm-hmm.
And most of it is human error. It's something we've done ourselves. But my point in saying that is we can't just sit there and depend on the fact that, well, you know what, this tree stand is safe. I've used this many, many times. I know it's going to be there. Well, it probably will. Mm-hmm. And odds are you're right.
Yeah.
But for every odd, there's another odd. There's the other side of that coin.
Uh-huh.
And I know I'm talking to people all the time, continuously. I don't care if I'm at a show, if I'm speaking somewhere, or I'm just in a room, somebody will come up to me and tell me their experience. And I hear it over and over and over. If it wasn't them that fell, it was their brother-in-law,
mm-hmm.
or it was a person in their hunting camp, or their uncle, or somebody. And I know I've heard this over and over again. You know, there's two types of hunters today, those that have fallen. And, you know, if you're not one that has fallen,
those
you're
that
not
one
that has.
Right, right.
And it's just a sad thing. But it's all preventable. That's
right.
The good news.
Yep.
And the products are made today to keep you safe, not only while you're in that tree stand, but to keep you safe from the moment they leave the ground
mm-hmm.
until they return to the ground.
Yep.
And that's the key, just like you and I have talked in the past. It's not a matter of getting up in that tree stand and hooking up. It's a matter of saying, okay, I'm getting ready to take my first step off the ground. I need to be hooked right now.
Right. Yeah, let the tree catch you.
That's right. Absolutely. You know, don't let the ground catch you.
Right. Let the tree catch me. And I finally met you at Archery Trade back in January. We talked. You had some new products there that I think, you know, they're not so much in hunting, but I know in fishing there are a lot of lures out there that catch fishermen. With hunting, there are a lot of products out there that, kind of nice options and all. But Hunter Safety Systems has some good stuff. You had some new stuff at ATA. And I tell you, I didn't mention this back when we did our first take on this, but you've got something out there called the Hanger.
Yeah.
And I wanted, and if anybody's listening and knows Hadrill's Point down in Charleston, South Carolina, is one of my favorite tackle stores down there, and one of my good friends down there, Scott Hammond. And last year, before bow season, Scott was hanging a stand. His harness was in his truck. He climbed up 12 feet off the ground and fell. Ooh. Now, when he landed flat on his back. He was in near some cypress trees, and he looked and he said, about 2 feet to my right was a cypress knee.
Oh, wow.
So he was one of he told me, he said he was stiff and sore. I think he's got a little crack in one of his vertebra, but he said, it could have been so much different. He said, when I started up that tree, I said, you know, my harness is right there. Oh, but I'm just going to hang this stand in a couple of ladder sections. And that's what you made the hanger product for.
Yes,
hanging
exactly.
Your free stands.
You know, the hanger harness is brand new, you know, like you're talking about. We're really excited about this product because it goes outside the boundaries of hunting harnesses.
Right.
And it's the first and only utility tree stand harness that's made not for hunting.
Right.
It's made for doing all the activities and chores that we do. We have to install those steps, stands, cut those shooting lanes, put up our cams. All the little chores and activities that have to be done, most of them are being done while we're elevated.
That's right.
And what this harness is made for is to carry all the tools needed to do those chores. If you can picture a harness that has these side saddlebags on either side, and they're extremely deep, they're double pocketed, and there's pouches and clips and hooks and areas to just keep every single thing you can possibly think of.
Right.
And it's made out of rigid material and a fabric that will allow you to take care of the rigors of hanging all the clips you have to do. It's got to be durable. And I think the one
Jerry?
Hang a stand.
Yeah.
With one trip up the tree. Well, that's almost unheard of, you know, because you got to come back, get your next ladder section.
Sure.
You got to come back and get this. You've got to come back or throw me up my saw. Or you know the way it goes. We've all been there.
Sure.
I don't know what that is. Well, I can start up the tree, and I've got everything I need with me. It's
right.
All there. It's on one top of the tree. By the way, I'm staying attached to that tree the whole time as well.
That's right. Yeah.
So I'm safe, and I've got all of my gear. And there's a couple things that we've added into this hanger harness that really makes it unique as well. Because when you do start filling up those pouches with your snips, your saw, your lifelines, your steps, all the things that you need to go up there, you've got quite a bit of weight.
Sure.
So we've doubled the padding in the shoulders on this.
Okay.
So it makes it so nice and comfortable. That weight is being distributed on your shoulders. And which is very nice, by the way, rather than having something around your neck or tied to your waist, it's wrapped around you. So it distributes the weight around your body.
Okay.
And that extra padding really does make a difference. You know, another feature of this is the pockets on the side that hold all your gear are movable. You can slide it to the front of you while you're in your stand, get whatever gears, tools, devices you need, slide it back around towards your back, get it out of the way while you're working. So it's really designed with a lot of thought because you and I have hung a lot of tree stands in the house.
Yes.
And we know what has to be done. We know the problems we have while we're up there. And the hanger harness is going to make your life so much easier.
And one of the really cool things that you showed me while I was here is you actually have two clips for your extra ladder sections. If you're hanging tree steps, You can hang your first one on the ground, climb up, and you've got two more sections attached to that harness. They're back out of the way, so they're not in the way of you climbing, but they're right there for you just to reach and grab them.
Yep, exactly. I have found that I can take my ladder sections. The first two sections I actually hang while my feet are still on the ground.
Okay.
And as I'm climbing, I've got two more sections that are attached. There's a place to actually attach it. It's made for that.
That's
to
right.
To hang those ladder sections on your sides. So as I get up there and I need that, it's right here. I don't have to come back or tell my buddy, hey, throw me up the next ladder section. No, I've got it.
You
go
it.
Hang the next stand. I'll take care of this.
That's
one.
Right. Yep. Well, another one that you had there, and archery has been big, and crossbows have really taken off, and you've actually got a harness especially designed and tested for crossbow hunters.
You know, this was a challenge for me because I'm not a crossbow
You're
hunter,
not a crossbow so guy.
No, I don't have anything against it. Mm-hmm. I love them. I just shoot my vertical bow.
Sure.
And that's how I always hunt. But so I really had to get the advice from a lot of people.
Okay.
I called in several crossbow hunters and got them, and we got into a big, long discussion. And the point was, tell me the problems you're having. Tell me the issues you have as a crossbow hunter. What makes your life miserable? Where do you have your problems? So I've got to understand the problems in order to find a fix to those problems.
Sure.
But some of the things that we did with this, and one of the issues that came up continuously was people were saying, I forget my cocking device when I get out to my tree. It's back in the truck. Or it's in my other jacket. Or
right.
It's just somewhere up on me. Well, that's one thing we decided right off the bat. We made a special zipper pocket that when you put that cocking device in there, zip it up, it's always there.
Right.
You've always got it with you. You're never going to leave and not have it. So that was one issue. Another issue was, we found out that crossbow hunters traditionally don't use binoculars. And I wouldn't have known that, but they said, no, you know, we've got a scope on the crossbow itself, and normally we're holding that crossbow in our lap, so
sure.
We normally use our scope.
Okay.
So I thought, okay, well, we bother with bino straps, but what they said they do need is the rangefinder.
Sure.
So we decided to put in a rangefinder ripcord that actually is attached on the inner side of the upward strap between your vertical strap and your shoulder, and it hangs down to about your area. And that's where you connect your rangefinder. Now, why there and what's the significance of that?
Go ahead.
The significance is I can reach... grab my rangefinder. It's on the end of that cord. If I need to just drop it because, ooh, there he is, I got to go. I got to shoot.
Right.
I can just let go of it.
Right.
The other thing is it sits perfectly between the layer of my harness and my body around my waist area, which means it doesn't take up any pocket space.
I see. Okay.
So it, again, was just a convenient situation that helps with... and not just crossbow hunters, but particularly crossbow hunters.
Okay.
Another issue that came up in that long conversation with the people, they said one of the problems they have is when they bend over to their bow, the tether of their harness is hanging down in front of them and gets in the way of them trying to cock the bow.
All right.
And I thought, you know what, you're right. I could see that happening. So we just made a nice little elastic strap right there on the harness to just take your tether and just slip it right down in there, holds it out of the way. Simple little device, a simple fix, but those that are extremely important to crossbow hunters. So we've taken a lot of time and effort to make sure that we're taking care of the needs of the crossbow hunter. It has a hidden cell phone pocket also to make sure that you've got access to the cell phone. It's nice. It's gone over very well. Crossbow hunters,
okay.
I think, like it because we've kept them in mind. It's not just another harness. It doesn't have just a different color. It's made specifically for those crossbow hunters.
Very good. One of the coolest things that, and we got a couple minutes here. One of the coolest things you showed me at ATA was, now we're in the Kentucky Exposition Center, you know, bright lights, 1.2 million square feet of display space. And we walked off about 20 yards from the HSS booth. And he said, you see that lifeline? And when we talk about lifeline, that's what we're talking about, staying connected to the tree. He said, lifeline. I said, sure, it's black, you know, it's hanging there. And he goes, watch this. Now, He pulls out a flashlight and he shines at that lifeline and it lights up like a Christmas tree. And I was, I'm sorry, I'm easily amused, or but it was just really neat, because how many of us have been in the woods, you know, looking for our tree stands and can't find them? Well, now you've got a fix for that.
You know what, Roger? Everybody reacted the same way you did, because, you know, you sit there, you're inside a very lit building. You're not expecting much of anything. You take a flashlight. What are we using a flashlight inside this building?
Sure.
I'd be perfectly fine.
Yeah.
Well, all of a sudden, you shine, like you said, all of a sudden it just comes alive.
Whoa.
And when it comes alive to that degree, inside lighted conditions, you can only imagine the value that brings you in the middle of the night when you're trying to find that stand.
Yeah.
And you're in the dark. I'll tell you another thing it really does well for you is if you've got a hunter that's never hunted that particular stand and
right.
you're trying to explain to him where it is, you've got to walk him all the way to that stand to make sure he finds it. Well, you don't have to do that.
Well, I was just fixing to tell you, you can say, go down here and turn right. If you can't find it, sit on the ground.
Yes, you'll find it. You definitely will find it.
Yeah. Yeah. But it was just a great one. And you put the cowbell. The rubber cowbell on the lifelines now?
Yeah, the cowbell cover, which is a patented design that we came up with that is a layer between the carabiner and any metallic metal device like your stand or your steps that will keep it from clinging. So that was one of the negatives as a person is going up with a lifeline that they come in contact and cling. Well, nobody wants that. So, again, it was a simple fix. We took care of that with a cowbell cover, and it's another one of those things that went over really well. I'm amazed at how many just plain cowbell covers were selling.
Oh, very good. Well, Jerry, it's great to talk to you. It was really good to meet you. I hope to see you again at ATA next January in Indianapolis, I think, this year. Anytime you need anything, give me a call. I appreciate you doing take two with me today, because this is an important issue to me. It's should be an important issue to every hunter, every hunter's family, and we appreciate what you do.
Listen, I appreciate you, Roger, and just a parting word is think of those that love you and expect you to come home safe and depend on you to come home safe. Keep that in mind when you're out in the woods.
Have a great deer season, Jerry. We'll talk to you soon.
Thank you, Roger.
Yes, sir. Be back on the other side. Oh, I'm sorry. Missed that cue. Boy, this has been an interesting day. It's been a good day. I hope you've enjoyed it. Tree stand safety is an important issue. Deer hunters out there, it's something you need to address. I mean, I've got to do some new stuff this year myself, so I'll be right in there with you. But it is an important thing. I had a friend, like I said, Scott Hammond, fell out of just hanging a stand last year. He fell. Another good friend of mine, the seat part broke as he was sitting in, and he fell over backwards, but his feet hung up in the bottom part. So he hung there upside down. And that's what you don't want to happen. And that's where a lifeline comes in. The harness is great. You should wear one. The lifeline is just important. Keep you attached to that tree all the time. Wow, Olympics. They're over tonight. You heard them say. But Greenville has an Olympic medalist. Got to take a moment to congratulate Sandy Morris. She won a silver medal in the women's pole vault Friday. Cleared 15 feet 9 inches. And moved from 5th to 2nd place. It says in here how she ended up with the silver instead of the gold because of how many times they missed it. Or missed a jump, but nobody made 16 feet. And the Greenville High graduate has a silver medal. So congratulations to Greenville's medalist. Those are incredible athletes. I don't care what they do, those Summer Olympics, in the winter for that matter. Wow. And actually, there was the NWTF was starting a wide range of clays tournaments. I mean, they had like Phytex and sub-gauges and there was an Olympic shooter there. He was just back from Rio and won a gold medal. And I cannot remember his name to save my life. But and by the way, if you haven't been to the National Wild Turkey, the Palmetto Shooting Complex, an incredible place. If you like to bust clays, you need to go. There was one stand, I think it was number 7, right there on the trap range. Had to have been 55 or 60 yards to where it was. It was like one of those far outs where you pay $5. We used to pay $5 for five shots, and the target's like 65 yards out there, and you're leading them 6 feet in front and 3 feet above, and it costs you $20 before you figure out, I'm really not going to break that target. But let's see. One thing I wanted to get out there in case you're interested, the Lowcountry Tarpon Tournament is coming up September 15th, 16th, 17th. If you're interested in attending, the captain's meeting's on the 15th. Day one fishing on the 16th. Day two fishing on the 17th. I won't be able to make it down to this one because I'll be at a conference that weekend. But it's a great thing. I'll miss seeing my BTT, my Bonefish and Tarpon Trust people, and all the guides down in Charleston and Buford and all that do such a great thing. But you can find out more at Lowcountry Tarpon Tournament or lowcountrytarpon.org. And go. And we have a great tarpon fishery. It's pretty amazing, but there are several guides along the coast. J.R. Waits comes to mind. It's probably one of the best, but a lot of the other ones are starting to pick it up. And just, you know, you're not going to catch five. You may catch one, you may catch two, they may spit the hook. That's part of tarpon fishing. But it's pretty cool that you can go South Carolina and catch tarpon. And actually, this is like the fourth or fifth tarpon tournament. So, that's it. It passes fast, especially when you have good guests. Hope you enjoyed hearing from Brandon. And don't forget, next week we're going to have Eddie Montz and Ryan Bass to talk about all the activities in school you can get your kids involved in. And now's the time to do it. Set that spark early and watch it grow the rest of their lives. As always, make time to get out there. Be careful when you do. Take the back roads. And don't forget that camera. See you next week.